on to item number 7. Item number 7 is similarly an informational item on the status of the draft basin plan amendment to establish policy to implement the water quality objectives for temperature and the draft action plan to address elevated water temperatures in the Mattole, Navarro, and Eel River watersheds. And Mr. Brian McFadden.
Good morning, Chairman Noren and members of the board. Yes, I got that right.
Nailed it.
There's an inside joke there. I'm Brian McFadden, staff to the regional board, and I'm here to give a brief update on where we stand in our process of developing the regional temperature policy and action plans for the Mattole, Navarro, and Eel implementing temperature TMDLs. I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about the history and how we got here, and just a little bit on the approach, and then let you know what the status is and what our next steps are. So the history of this really does go back to 2004 and the adoption of the non-point source policy by the state board, which is a statewide policy. And that policy requires that non-point sources be permitted through waste discharge requirements, waivers, or prohibitions. So it kind of defines the regulatory tools that we have for non-point sources. Shortly following that, the sediment TMDL implementation policy was adopted by this board, which relies on existing authorities consistent with that non-point source policy. And it also directed the development of a sediment work plan. And I mentioned the sediment policy because the sediment policy is sort of the template or model that we've been working with in developing the temperature policy. Another relevant piece of history related to this effort is a lawsuit related to TMDL implementation. Several years ago, 6 environmental organizations sued both the state and the regional board for failure to implement or develop implementation plans for 3 TMDLs that lacked an implementation plan. And so this gets back to the fact that the original TMDL consent decree had an ambitious time schedule. TMDLs were developed by both the regional board and US EPA, but they were established by the US EPA in order to meet that schedule. US EPA doesn't have implementing authority, and so a number of those were developed without, well, they were all developed without implementation plans. The sediment TMDL implementation policy later covered a number of those watersheds, as well as the Scott, Shasta, Salmon, and Klamath and Lost River TMDLs. So what was left were the Mattole, Navarro, and Eel River temperature TMDLs, and a stipulated agreement that the board and state board entered into in 2011 resulted, it calls for the development of this regional temperature policy, which was something that we were already intending to do, as well as action plans for the Mattole, Navarro, and Eel. And then about a year and a half ago, in fact, it was January of 2012, this board adopted the temperature policy resolution. And that resolution establishes the scope and rationale for a policy to implement the basin plan water quality objectives for temperature. And we're going forward following that, the guidance in that resolution. excuse me. That resolution also directs staff to develop a basin plan amendment to incorporate the policy as well as the action plans. And that's what we're here talking about today. Just really briefly, the approach that we are putting forward for this policy is to follow the approach articulated in the temperature policy resolution using our existing authorities, but also non-regulatory tools. I thought Mr. Moore put it pretty well. We have permits and we have funding, and those are our major tools. There are other minor tools, and that the use of all those tools is what we're putting forward in this policy. Another aspect of this policy that is important is the establishment of riparian shade as a controllable water quality factor. Incorporating that into our water quality control plan strengthens our authority in that realm. Also, the approach of this policy is to implement the sediment controls consistent with the approach, or implement sediment controls consistent with the approach that's articulated in the sediment policy. You'll recall that the three major areas of emphasis are shade, sediment, and flow. And along those lines, a part of this policy is explicit recognition of our need to coordinate with the Division of Water Rights in all the ways that the law provides, and then also, you know, just as a sister agency with compatible goals and same goals. Something that wasn't in the temperature policy resolution that we anticipate putting forward for your consideration is the development of a temperature work plan. And in reality, what we anticipate is combining sediment and temperature in a work plan. We already have a sediment work plan, but it needs to be updated. We've completed a lot of the tasks in that called out in that work plan, and sediment and temperature really go together in the activities that staff do in regulating non-point sources, so it makes sense to put them together in the work plan as well. And then also, this policy will direct the development and implementation of a temperature trend monitoring plan. As far as the action plans for the three watersheds, the action plans are being developed consistent with the regional policy, but they contain more specificity. And the way I would frame it is the action plan sort of translate the regional policy approach to the specifics of those three watersheds. Of course, we're identifying the regulatory programs that we have in place and also under development that are applicable in those watersheds. But most of the specificity comes in the application of the non-regulatory approaches where specific needs are called out for funding and then also opportunities for us to interface with third parties and our agency partners. So as of today, we've conducted a number of CEQA scoping meetings throughout the region and received comments, and we're in the process of incorporating those comments in our environmental document. We have drafts of the policy and an action plan that implements the policy, action plans for the Mattole, Navarro, and Eel. We also have a staff report drafted. And we're moving forward to get the staff report and policy peer reviewed. We've gotten pretty far down the road in that process, which turns out to be not so trivial, and has involved a bit of interaction and an iterative back and forth kind of process with our contacts at the state board related to peer review. And we're scheduling meetings with stakeholders and talking about the concepts that we're proposing to put forward and soliciting input. Moving forward, of course, we're going to continue with that interaction with stakeholders. That's the next major part of my activities related to this, and also completing the peer review process, so that we can release a public review draft in the latter part of August. During the public review period, we'll be conducting workshops in the region, including a workshop in front of you in October, which will tee us up for a hearing in which we'll present a policy and the action plans for your consideration at the November board meeting. And being optimistic, I'm going to say following that, we'll move forward with taking it to the state board for their hearing and prepare for the Office of Administrative Law review. And that's my update, and I would entertain any questions you have.
Thanks, Brian. Questions? Mr. Hemp?
Yeah, on the peer review process, has a peer reviewer been selected? You're kind of alluding to a little bit of a challenge on getting that set up. So is that more of coordinating a reviewer, or is that just the process of going through the review in response with the reviewer?
No, it's making sure that the request is clearly articulated and that sort of thing. It's not anything related to
for the reviewer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My contact there, Dr. Jerry Bowes, has told me he's got two peer reviewers lined up and is working on a third, but I don't know who those are at this point. But no, that's not holding us up.
Okay, but they have not reviewed it yet?
No.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions? Sounds like you're well along in the way to have this come before us by the end of the year. I believe the stipulated agreement or the agreement between parties, because this was out of legal action, was to have this done by the end of the year. So it sounds like you're well on your way to, again, being optimistic that this gets there.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that is my target, is the end of the calendar year.
Hey, can I ask, too, walking just beyond that, because you allude to combining with the sediment work plan then, that's an output that comes, that's an action that comes after, right? That plan, right now you're working on a basin plan amendment, which then you have a work plan that would be combined with the sediment work plan at a later date, correct?
Correct.
Follows it?
Yes.
Okay. With monitoring plan that goes with it.
Right. We have to have a description of our strategy for monitoring, and we'll have that. But the monitoring plan won't be fully developed by the end of the calendar year.
Okay. Fantastic.
And going back to the reviewers, with the public review draft for August, will that include reviewer comments in response to reviewer comments?
Yes.
Okay. Great.
We have one speaker card, it looks like. Brian, thank you. We'll come back in just a minute. Mr. Daniel Meyer. Thanks, Penny.
My name is Daniel Myers. I'm here representing the Sierra Club and also Friends of the Navarro Watershed. There was one date I didn't hear, and that it was 1997. I think that's when this agency first agreed to do the three rivers that are in this. And so it goes back that far. And we're now down to the end of this, where it's all going to happen in 4 months. And we have had... This agreement was signed in February of 2011, and I don't see the kind of progress, something of this complexity and detail has happened yet. And so this presentation is the kind of presentation we had about 2 years ago, and it scared me that it was so similar. I'm concerned about the progress and where we're at. I'd like to address the Navarro briefly. I live on the Navarro River. It's one of the three listed rivers. And there seems to be, we are of the opinion that the problem with the Navarro is the progressive loss of its summer low flows. We have documentation on this, and there's a packet in there. I have a graph, and this graph was done by a vintner and wine grape grower. He is concerned for his business. We are concerned for the fishery and the other aspects of it. We have a common problem in the Navarro that needs to be investigated, and we also have a report in there from our hydrologist. It says summary at the top, signed by Dennis Jackson, and basically he says, I stand by my conclusion in the August letter quoted below. The number of direct diversions, legal or illegal, in the Navarro watershed greatly increases after 1980, average June-October discharge. So in my opinion, direct diversions, including unreported diversions, are the single most important factor in the statistical significance in the decrease in June and October stream flows. So I've been advocating that we do, if it's the problem is in the groundwater and subsurface excavations of it, we need to investigate that. I've had resistance to that, and I think it should be given priority in this process. I'd also like to quote from a bulletin that was put out by the regional board recently on the commenting on the groundwater study that was done by Hunter on the Scott River Valley. It says, the work of Dr. Harder and his team was initiated in response to needed actions identified in the Scott River temperature TMDL process, which identified the strong influence of groundwater contributions play in determining of temperature of the Scott River. This work has largely been funded by North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. It is important, and it may be costly, but it's what the Navarro needs. And go on to deal with the general policy issues. I had made this nice packet of documents because I wanted to inform the newer members of the board who don't have all the history that we have behind us. That does not going to stop me from going ahead and talking to you about it too.
Daniel?
Yes.
I just asked that you did give us this, and I'm interested in what you have to say. I'm just interested in time too. So I just asked that, you know, you gave us information that we need to digest and review. At the same time, can I ask you just to hit your high points and not give us all the detail? I mean, we do have a plan that's in process, and you are part of that. So
yes.
Go forth.
I think time is a very important issue, and we should be considerate of it. And I just wondered what happened in the last 2 years. The recent Garberville meeting we had with staff confirmed my sense that there had been no significant progress in meeting the obligations set out in addressing these three watersheds. In your folder on the right side, the pages, the agreement state, the regional board staff shall prepare and present to the regional board for adoption into basin plan three standalone temperature implementation plans for the Mentone, Navarro, and Eel Rivers. These standalone implementation plans should generally follow the pattern set by the Shasta River, the Scott River implementation plans. These implementation plans clearly identify the source of the problems, the parties involved, and the actions to be taken. Their remedial framework employs a mix of regulatory tools such as permits, waivers, and prohibitions combined with site-specific recommendations arising from water rights and water quality issues. And I see a reluctance to honor this portion of our agreement. I know of no better guide staff might have used in preparing the action plans for the Eel, Navarro, Mentone than to utilize the excellent work that went into the development of the Scott and Shasta action plans. On the left side of your folder, there's a copy of the action plan for the Scott River. We've looked at some initial work for this project. This is a 24-page document that is what I think it should be the product that we're looking for. It's very detailed. And it's common in many respects to what we're doing here. In other words, a lot of the work has been done on that can be transferred from here. And I don't see that there's any, I don't see any work product that's been developed at this point. But it's important that we, if you're going to do it, in 4 months, I don't think you can do it. I think it's quite impossible to start from where we're at, which is basically scratch, and get this all through all this process in 4 months. You can't do it. But if you are to do it, I would suggest that Scott and Shasta be the guidance. They have background material. They've done it, and it can be transferred to this project. Thank you.
Any questions for Daniel? Daniel, I would note, too, that for one thing, thank you. Thank you for the information. Thanks for coming today. This is a work in progress. We haven't seen work product either, and I know that from what Brian McFadden produced us today or indicated today was that there's a peer review document that sounds like that's going out. I would also say that you are one of the plaintiffs in this agreement, and so as part of that, you have, at the end of the day, to evaluate whether this met your agreement or not. We certainly are going to have more to see on this as we go in towards adoption towards the end of the year. We have talked to you. I have personally talked to you about this before with Kat Coleman, and the agreement was to do it by December 2000, at the end of this year, 2013. And so the work product has yet to be seen, even by me and us as a board. So I note your comments, and I note your concern. So we're waiting for a work product, too. At the end of the day, you need to be the judge of your agreement that was made as a legal agreement with this agency of the work product and whether it meets that bar.
May I respond?
Absolutely.
I'm questioning whether there has been progress. In other words, I understand we have no complaint at all with the board or this process until next year.
Right.
That's given. But I do feel that I have an obligation to come here and tell you you aren't getting it done. I think this is the board, and I'm telling the board the feedback that I get from the staff, it isn't happening. And I think that's why I'm here, to let you know that. Thank you.
I appreciate that very much, Daniel. Thank you. I have a second speaker card from Alan Levine. I have no other speaker cards beyond Alan Levine.
Alan Levine for COSA Action Group. We support a lot of Daniel's concerns. I had indicated in my previous discussion earlier this morning that I had a lot of faith in WDR's addressing a lot of the non-point source concerns. However, I feel way more comfortable with basin plan amendments, and I see that this process is to include that because I see that as more enforceable and probably more comprehensive, too. I would encourage, I have not been able to see any work product either. I am available and probably will be commenting on it. I think that all of this is being done under water code mandates, actually, section 13242, requiring compliance by indicating what actions need to be taken to attain water quality standards and the monitoring and the descriptions that go along with that. I believe in these cases, shade is a big factor and a microclimate, so I assume that the policy is going to address that near stream shade, as the ambient temperature does have a huge effect on water quality temperature. And I also see flows as being a major issue, especially in the Navarro, which is really problematic in that area. But my suggestion here is, number one, I think sediment is part of the flow issue and part of the temperature issue and does need to be combined and addressed collectively, not separating those issues. And also working with the state board on the illegal diversion issue and the regular diversion issue or a permitted diversion issues. The state has a mandated obligation to maintain in-stream flows. They have policy for that, and incorporation or some way of nexusing that policy and getting state board help with compliance might help address some of the flow issues. And so finally, I trust that the work product will come out and it will address issues that need to be addressed.
Alan,
I think staff
you.
Can get it done. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Alan. I have no other speaker cards for this. Brian, may I ask you to come back up? So again, as I understand it, you have a work product that goes out for peer review. It sounds like that's in play. You have
yep.
a CEQA document that is in play. We have, as an agency, an agreement with plaintiffs to have this process done by end of year.
Mm-hmm.
That work product, so peer review process, just again to go back to that for a minute, as far as schedule goes, when do you anticipate then, by the way, I like that you got this on one page. Very efficient.
I did say it was going to be brief.
Nice. Saving paper. But when would the public draft of this be out then? Just to be clear about that. When does this go out to public review or public draft get let then?
It's towards the latter part of August.
Okay.
But I do plan to discuss drafts with stakeholders between then.
And to be clear, you
and continue to, I should say.
Okay. And to be clear, too, you know, there were comments about state board and water flow and diversions and that type of thing. You alluded to that is part of what you've done and incorporated into this plan as well. It sounds like diversions are and water flow are an issue here. You had alluded to or you had discussed the fact that that's part of your process. That's part of the process of this policy.
Yeah.
And there'd be some fun.
You know, I want to be clear. We also have concerns about flows in throughout the region, but the Navarro does seem to have some acute flow issues, and the action plan we're developing addresses that. I would say that also that Daniel and I disagree about some of the factors. The information evidence I have in front of me doesn't support that groundwater is the issue at hand primarily. In my mind, it's a surface diversion issue. But I think there's some more work that needs to be done to define that, and that's kind of where we're going. This would fall into the realm of the non-regulatory approaches and the funding elements that we can bring to bear, and then, of course, our coordination with water rights. But
I would also note that Daniel brought the Shasta and Scott action plan. I'm aware of the fact that, you know, our work in the Shasta and the Scott, especially the Scott with the work that Dr. Harder, which was actually similarly quoted here, at least highlighted for us, that, you know, that's an ongoing process. That groundwater study up there was a very extensive, elaborate, and long-term effort to try and determine groundwater use, conjunctive use, flow, to try and put that together. In fact, that's not even done. That's an ongoing effort. And then from that comes the management of the resource. So it's not a get it in the basin plan and fix it. It's done. It's very much an implementation as you go and very long term.
That's true.
Those efforts take a long time.
You know, and I just want to add that, you know, of course, I'm intimately familiar with the Scott River situation.
Sure are.
And I also worked on the development of the Navarro TMDL. I'm pretty familiar with that system, too. They're very different, particularly in regards to the hydrology. The geology in Anderson Valley is such that there isn't an aquifer that can be used to extract large amounts of water that you'd need to supply irrigation. The UC Cooperative Extension just put out a report that was... It's the result of a survey that they did in Anderson Valley, and they got about half of the agricultural water users to respond. And the results show that that 90% of those water users use surface water, not groundwater. Both of the Scott, the Shasta, well, all three, Scott, Shasta, Navarro have water issues, but they're not all the same issues.
Right.
And, we're trying to craft an approach that honors the specific issues in the Navarro, and focusing on the Navarro because it came up. But I just wanted to say that. And then another thing I want to say is we fully intend to comply with every part of that stipulated agreement, and we think we are. I just want to say, put that in the record for sure, that we are going forward with products that we feel satisfy that agreement.
Well, let me say we look forward to seeing that product. We look forward to seeing the peer review process concur with it, the CEQA document, and we'll look to have this somewhere around August and then towards the end of the year that it comes back as an item for our consideration.
Can I just say one more thing?
You sure can.
I've mentioned that the regional approach follows the temperature policy resolution, or the approach there. There's no surprises that we're going to be pulling on anybody. If people want to know what the content of that regional policy is going to look like, they should go look at the resolution, because that spells it out. Our intention has always been to take that approach and put it into the basin plan, and that's what we're moving forward with. So I encourage people to take a look at that again. What we're going to put forward for your consideration is a condensed version of that. That was an 11-page resolution. What I'm working on is much shorter than that, but the therefore be it resolved section of that resolution is the focus of the policy. I'd also want to just mention Mr. Myers was comparing the length of the Scott and Shasta action plans. And I assume he was in his mind comparing it to the draft product that I shared with him a few weeks ago. We plan on incorporating those TMDLs by reference and not go through all the elements of the action plan, which had a large part in making the Scott and Shasta action plans as lengthy as they are. To do otherwise would put a lot more paper into our basin plan, and I don't think it would really change the approach or eliminate things that are already available in written form. It's going to be shorter. Those action plans will be shorter, but for good reason, I think. And they are also following the format that the Scott and Shasta action plans present.
Great. We look forward to seeing the work product and going through the process.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to take a 10-minute break. We'll be